Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Ballava Giribhara Dhaudi, Gopi Jana Ballava Giribhara Dhaudi, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Banachari, Yamuna Tira Banachari, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Ballabha Giribhara Dhaudi, Gopi Jana Ballabha Giribhara Dhaudi, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Banachari, Yamuna Tira Banachari, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari. So Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravritakacharya, also Teta Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrind Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kund Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Ki Jai, Shivaram Ki Jai, Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai, Yamunamai Ki Jai, Shrimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Go. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nibhashesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deja Tarani. So Omagana Timananda Shaganandjana Srila Chakshuram Niditam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torch lit now while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Okay, so today we're going to talk more about ignorance from chapter 16 in the Bhagavad Gita, the divine and demoniac natures. So let's continue. We are, let me just share the screen, we're on 17. This chapter, hold on a second. There we go. So, we'll continue reading. Atma sambhavita stabda dhanamana madanvita yajante nama yajnayascha dambenai vidipurvakam. Atma sambhavita, self-complacent, stabda, impudent, dhanamana, wealth and false prestige, mata in the delusion, anvita, absorbed, yajante, they perform sacrifice, nama, in name only, die with sacrifices, te, they, dambena, out of pride, avidipurvakam, without following any rules and regulations. So, translation, self-complacent and always impudent, talking about the demons, of course, deluded by wealth and false prestige, they sometimes proudly perform sacrifices in name only, without following any rules or regulations. In other words, they make up their own sacrifices, their own procedures in the sacrifices, and actually their whole intention is to get money, prestige, followers, whatever. And you see that it's very, very common in this world. So, purport, thinking themselves all in all, not caring for any authority or scripture, that demoniacs sometimes perform so-called religious or sacrificial rites, and since they do not believe in authority, they are very impudent. This is due to illusion caused by accumulating some wealth and false prestige. Sometimes such demons take up the role of preacher, mislead the people, and become known as religious reformers or as incarnations of God. They make a show of performing sacrifices, or they worship the demigods or manufacture their own god. Common men advertise them as God and worship them, and by the foolish they are considered advanced in the principles of religion or in the principles of spiritual knowledge. They take the dress of the renounced order of life and engage in all nonsense in that dress. Actually, there are so many restrictions for one who has renounced this world. The demons, however, do not care for such restrictions. They think that whatever path one can create, one's own path. There is no such thing as a standard path one has to follow. The word avidipurvakam, meaning a disregard for the rules and regulations, is especially stressed here. These things are always due to ignorance and illusion. And the problem is making reference to some bogus person in India who shall remain nameless, who said, yatamatatupat. Basically, you know, do your own thing, you have your own path, or I'm okay, you're okay. In the 1970s, there was a book, in fact, in English called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And I remember sitting down for a class that Srila Prabhupada was giving in Los Angeles, in 1973, I think, or 4, or 5, I forget the year. Anyway, so Prabhupada said, they say, Yatopat, I'm okay, you're okay. Actually emulating the name of the book. And Prabhupada said, we say, I'm okay, you are not okay. Everyone laughed and said, Jai, Prabhupada. And that is actually true. If we are following Krishna consciousness, we are okay. And if we're not following Krishna consciousness, we are not. Simple as that. Okay, and next verse. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodam cha samshitaha mamatma bhaveshu pradvishanto visuyakaha. Ahankaram, false ego, balam, strength, darpam, pride, kamam, lust, krodam, anger, cha also samshita, taking shelter of, mom, me, atma, and their own, para, and another, or other. Deheshu, bodies, prada, vishantaha, blasphemy, avyasuha, envious. Bewildered by false ego. What does false ego mean? False ego means I am the center, I am the controller, I am mine. It's basically two divisions of false ego. I and mine. The identification of yourself as the center, controller, whatever, and then so many other things as belonging to you. My family, country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Strength, pride, lust, and anger. The demons become envious of the supreme personality of Godhead, who is situated in their own bodies and in the bodies of others, and blaspheme against the real religion. Pretty self-explanatory. A demoniac person, being always against God's supremacy, does not like to believe in the scriptures. He is envious of both the scriptures and the existence of the supreme personality of Godhead. Whoops, let's see that. Hold on, maybe a sign that the internet's working. This is caused by his so-called age and his accumulation of wealth and strength. He does not know present life preparation next life. Doing this, he actually acts of his own self as well as of others. He commits violence on other bodies and on his own. He has no knowledge because he has. He does not care for the supreme control of the personality of Godhead because he has no knowledge. Being envious of the scriptures and the supreme personality of Godhead, he puts forward false arguments against the existence of God and denies the scriptural authority. He thinks himself independent and powerful in every action. He thinks that since no one can equal him in strength, power, and wealth, he can act in any way and no one can stop him. If he has an enemy who might check the advancement of his sensual activities, he makes plans to cut him down by his power. Don't we see this in the politics of the United States right now? And here's what happens to this poor individual. Tanaham deshatal kruran sangsar ishu naradamam. Shipam yajasham ashuban asuri shreva yonishu. On those, aham I, vishita, envious, kruran, mischievous, sangsarishu, into the ocean of material existence, nada ad daman, the lowest of mankind, shipami, I put ajashram forever, ashuban, inauspicious, asurishu, demoniac, eva, certainly, yonishu, into the wounds. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. In other words, that's karma. Those who are against Krishna's supremacy, those who have demoniac qualities, they're put into lower species of life. Now, I definitely have to talk about this word perpetually. Everybody see that word? Perpetually usually means forever. We say perpetual peace. But in this particular case, it means a long time because there's always hope. We are not advocates of the philosophy that if you don't make it in this lifetime, you become a great demon in this lifetime. Then you go to hell forever. I remember looking at one Christian tract, I mean, a small little booklet, a number of years ago, and it depicted someone who just made a theological mistake in his life. What was that theological mistake? Is he didn't accept the Lord Jesus, and he was put into this boiling oil brimstone, whatever brimstone is. I don't even know. So anyway, so he's put in this boiling brimstone, whatever it is, and he's crying out for help. He's saying, help me, help me. And then above him, there is God saying, you know, you just live this one lifetime, and you're just going to stay there forever, eternal hell. Well, that means if people think that God is like that, they are worshiping someone, or at least their conception of God, is that of a horrible, cruel, I'm not going to say demoniac, but just at least horrible, cruel, vengeful, all the negative words you could think about. I mean, it's not the type of God that I want to love. It'll simply like send someone away forever and ever and ever. And that is not the nature of God. There's always going to be another chance. Of course, it may take thousands of lifetimes or millions of lifetimes, but no one is condemned eternally. Because when you go down to a lower species of life, you work your way up and you get another opportunity. And if you blow it, sorry, the word blow means if you don't take advantage of it, then you're sent down again. And actually, we're very fortunate to be in the human form of life. As Lord Rishabhadev states in the fifth of Srimad Bhagavatam, Nayam Deho Deha Pasham Niloke Kashtam Kamam Arhede Vibhujam Ye Tapu Putraka Yena Shadvat Sujed Yasmad Abramashoka Chunantam. What is that? Nayam Deho Dejam Vajam Deho Vajam Viloke Kashtam Kamam Arhe Vibhujam Tapush. No. Tapas. Ah, tapas. So one should engage in austerity. Putraka Yena Sad. He is speaking to his sons. Actually, he has 100 sons. And he says, my dear sons, you have taken a human body, which is very rare. Therefore, you should not act like the pigs. He actually calls them stool eaters, which is another name for pigs. Vibhujam, yay. But tapo divyam putraka yena shudyad. You should engage in austerity, my dear sons, and in this way experience Brahmashoka Tranantam, unlimited happiness or spiritual happiness. Anyway, so perpetually here doesn't mean forever and ever. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that the placing of a particular individual soul in a particular body is the prerogative of the Supreme Will. The demoniac person may not agree to accept the supremacy of the Lord, and it is a fact that he may act according to his own whims, but his next birth will depend on the decision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not on himself. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, it is stated that an individual's soul after his death is put into the womb of the mother, where he gets a particular type of body under the supervision of superior power. Therefore, in the material existence, we find so many species of life, animals, insects, men, and so on. All are arranged by the superior power. They are not accidental. As for the demoniac, it is clearly said here that they are perpetually put in wombs of demons, and thus they continue to be envious to the lowest of mankind. Such demoniac species of men are held to be always full of lust, always violent, hateful, and always unclean. The many kinds of hunters in the jungle are considered to belong to the demoniac species of life. Oh my God. Demoniac species of life, hunters in the jungle. So, of course, there's many stories of hunters who actually became Krishna conscious. And the typical story is Magrari, the hunter, when he had the association of Narada Muni and shown his karmic future, he decided to change his ways and he became a great pure devotee of the Lord. So mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure devotees, anyone can be freed from the demoniac condition of life. So next verse, Asurim Yonim Apana Mura janmani janmani mama prapyaiva konteha tato yantya damam gatim. Asurim, demoniac. Munin species, apanaha, gaini. Mudaha, the foolish. Janmani, janmani. In birth after birth, mam me. Aprapya, without achieving, eva certainly konteha, son of Kunti, tata, thereafter. Yantido. Attain destination. Attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demoniac life, O son of Kunti, such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. It is now, so in other words, let's go over this verse. never approach Krishna means long time. But by the mercy of Krishna's devotee, who is more merciful than Krishna himself, they can approach Krishna. And you see that, how Prabhupada transformed hippies to happies or demons to devotees. It is known that God is all merciful, but here we find that God is never merciful to the demoniac. It is clearly stated that the demoniac people, life after life, are put into the wombs of similar demons, and not achieving the mercy of the Supreme Lord, they go down and down. So at last they achieve bodies like those of cats, dogs, and hogs. It is clearly stated that such demons have practically no chance of receiving the mercy of God at any stage of later life. In the Vedas also, it is stated that such persons gradually sink to become dogs and hogs. It may be then argued in this connection that God should not be advertised as all-merciful if he is not merciful to such demons. In answer to this question, in the Vedanta Sutra, we find that the Supreme Lord has no hatred for anyone. The placing of the asuras, the demons of the lowest status of life, is simply another feature of his mercy. Sometimes the asuras are killed by the Supreme Lord, but this killing is also good for them. For in the Vedic literature, we find that anyone who is killed by the Supreme Lord becomes liberated. There are instances in history of many asuras, Ravana, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, to whom the Lord appeared in various incarnations to kill them. Therefore, God's mercy is shown to the asuras if they are fortunate enough to be killed by him. Of course, Krishna does say, Samoham sarvabhuteshu mam name dvesho stina priya. I'm equal to everyone. No one is especially my friend, no one is especially my enemy, etc. So how can we say that God is merciful to the asuras? Let's say the asuras who are not killed by Krishna. Here we see that if an asura, demon, or someone who's acting demoniacally, to make it clearer, is killed by Krishna, gets liberated. Wow. But there's many who don't get killed by Krishna. So what or how is God giving them mercy? How is God being equal? Well, because when they're put into the lower species of life, they will learn certain lessons. The punishment that God is giving out is actually punishment to restore their perfect frame of consciousness, or the right frame of consciousness. And we've mentioned many classes before. We mentioned that there's two theories of justice. One theory is called retributive justice. And the other theory is called restorative justice. So, many times governments, they have retributive justice. Retributive justice means you make someone suffer because they actually committed some crime, therefore society or people in society feel better by seeing the criminals suffer. And the other theory is called restorative justice. That you take the criminal, may put him in jail, may put him in prison, but you train him up and try to restore him to the proper frame of consciousness. So God's punishment is not retributive. That was the problem with the example I gave before of the Christians who think that God only gives people one chance and otherwise they fry in hell and everyone's laughing at them, you know, you fool, Prabhu, sorry. So they're frying in hell, and where's the mercy? But the reason for the suffering that someone may have to undergo, whether you call it hell, or whether you call it being born in an unfortunate circumstance or situation, is to basically teach that soul that there's no happiness in being a demon. To teach that soul there's no happiness in being separate from God. And to facilitate that soul in coming to the realization that he needs God and God's mercy. And when he has that realization, he cries out to God, and God sends guru, or minister, or some representative to help that particular individual. So, if someone is getting punished, There's a reason for it, for the benefit, that is, it's for the benefit of that particular individual. It's not to make him suffer because he didn't listen to my instructions, if God is thinking like that. And similarly, the spiritual master may criticize his disciple, not because the spiritual master is frustrated because his disciple didn't listen to him, but because he understands the best thing to do in that particular instance is to chastise. It's necessary sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. So therefore, God's mercy or punishment is mercy. And it's not forever and ever and ever and ever. It's for a period of time until one comes to his or her senses. Just like in the prison house, someone can be let out on parole. What do I mean, parole? Well, let's say someone is given a 10-year sentence. But if he's he or she has actually exhibited good behavior in the prison, then there's time off for good behavior. So, same thing, if one gets committed to, let's say, an abominable species of life or some suffering condition, if one actually runs and cries out to God, then immediately that suffering becomes dissipated. For example, we find in the Nectar of Devotion that the first quality of pure devotional service, even if you're not a pure devotee, but just starting to act under the direction of a pure devotee, is immediately for distress. That's the point. And actually, distress, ultimately, you know, usually when we talk about this immediate relief from all distress, we're talking about karma, vikarma, kuta, bija, paramita karma, and all those other nice things. But really, distress is caused by the identification, the false identification with the body and mind. Mind, of course, is the subtle body, mind, intelligence, and false ego. We're identifying with those things. You give up the identification, and there's no more suffering or material enjoyment, on the other hand. It's a fact. Just like we were reading this morning, that actually our connection with the body is just an illusion. Prabhupada made the statement, maybe I should read it here, because it was so nice, so clear insofar as why we're here in the material world, for those of you who didn't hear the class this morning. This is from one of Prabhupada's books, actually from a lecture Prabhupada gave. Many people inquire, how did the living entity who was with Krishna fall into the material world? That question is answered here. The fallen living entity's condition is due to the influence of the Lord's material energy. We knew that. Actually, he has not fallen, Prabhupada said. Why do we say the living entity is not fallen? And I'll explain what that means. That's Sanskrit. That's from the Aranyaka Upanishad, which means the Upanishad of the Great Forest, which basically states that all matter is matter. So Prabhupada here says, this is false. And our illusion when clouds pass, in other words, we appear to be moving this body, we appear to be in this body, but rationally we're not. That's weird. The Bhagavad Gita also says that the self-realized soul sees when sleeping, moving about, eating, evacuating, that he actually does nothing. Similarly, the living entity, because he is spirit spark of the Supreme, has not fallen, but he is thinking, I am fallen, I am material, I am this body. You're identifying yourself, but you're not really fallen. The body has no connection with the soul. Just like I have no connection, if I don't play video games, if I was playing a video game with a character in a video game, I have no connection. It's an imaginary connection. We can experience it. The body is changing, dying, but I'm the same. The idea that we have a connection with the body is due to the influence of the illusory energy of Krishna. That illusory energy develops when we forget Krishna. In other words, our illusory identification with the body is simply due to our forgetfulness of the Lord. We wanted to forget. We wanted to give up Krishna and enjoy the material world. Therefore, Krishna is giving us the chance. For example, when you play a part in a drama, if you feel I am the king, then you can act very nicely. In other words, when you're playing a part in the drama, you're not that part, but you really get into it. So for all intents and purposes, your consciousness is absorbed, you actually become that person. If you feel, and Prabhupada is referring to one of his disciples who was in the class, I am Karanda, then you cannot play a king so nicely. In other words, if you remember what your real identity is, let's say in the material world, then you're not going to be such a great actor. The feelings must be there. If you're playing the part of a king, you must believe that you are a king and have his courage. You have to forget that you are Karanda. Again, that's... And you couldn't... But if you either play it convincingly, or it's if you think Mr. Soul and playing the part of, let's say, my name was Steve What's a Bazoo or something, I wouldn't be able to play that part convincingly if I kept remembering I'm Spirit Soul. So to play the part of a materialist, you have to forget who you actually are. You can't have both, or else you'll be a lousy player. That's why devotees are lousy players in the material world. They're lousy at playing the part in the material world. Someone has a chat here. There's nothing I can do about the internet connection's bad. You'll just have to tolerate it. If the voice is breaking up. I'm going on phone internet right now. It's inevitable that things like that are going to happen. You're lucky you're able to see me or hear me. So because we wanted to play the part of Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, Krishna is giving us the chance. Yes, feel like me. So in other words, Krishna's giving us this illusion and he's saying, yes, you should feel like me. Hey, Krishna, not like me, me. Let me just check this, how it's coming through on Facebook. I have to check this because I am concerned that this is an important point we're making right now. We wanted to play the part in us the chant. Yes, feel like me. So in other words, Krishna's the director. Super Soul is the director, and he's saying, feel like me. Hold on, let me check this one thing. Feel like you're God. All right, forget about the internet's real slow. The feeling that I am the master, I am a king, I am Krishna, I am God is created by Krishna. Wow, just think about that for a second. All these feelings that I am God, I am Krishna, I am the center, Ishwaraham Aham Bhogi, Siddham Balaban Sukhi, I'm perfect, powerful, happy, the center. That feeling is created by Krishna. All right, since you want to play the part of a king, that's Krishna, I shall train you in such a way. In other words, all right, you want to play my part, Krishna is saying? I'll train you how to play my part. Super soul, give you the intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Remember, chapter 15, text 15. The director of a play tries to create the feelings within you for the part you are playing. And here probably gives an example. In my youth, I played the part of Advaitacharya in a drama about Lord Chaitanya. Our director, Amritlal Bals, said to me, feel like Advaitacharya. So when I performed my part under his direction, all the people in the audience were crying. The play was artificial, but the effect on the audience was very nice. Wow. That's amazing. Similarly, we have nothing to do with the material world, but we have been trained by the illusory energy to think, I am Indian, I'm American, I'm intellectual, I'm laborer, I am that, I have to do this, I have so many duties. These are all illusions. We have nothing to do with all this nonsense, but still we are taking it very seriously. I have to do like that. I am this, I am that. Let me just complete with this quotation. That is explained here. Unless one is influenced by the bewildering energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul and pure consciousness with the material body. While dreaming of make all this is here. Give me. Wake observing. What tiger? Why do you doubt? The dream man is actually that victim. We're dreaming and we're thinking, you know, I have some mood on a chair, and someone is saying, no, you're not. And the person who is dreaming is thinking, I wish you would shut up so I can continue this dream. Therefore, this verse gives the example of a dream. There cannot be any meaning of the relationship of the soul and the body except it is like a dreaming man creating an imaginary situation. He is dreaming that there is a tiger dreaming there. He's creating a fear situation. Not the fear, there's no tiger. Similarly, in a moment, in the middle world of mental activity, in about, oh, I'm a factory owner, I am this, I am that. We know this, Alex. We know his politics. We have to defeat our competitors. All these things are created just as a man creates a situation in a dream. Swapna drastur, evanjasal. So that's our situation in the material world. Like it or not, we are in a dream. We have no connection with this matter. The matter actually exists. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. It is. But we have no connection with it, really. But through Krishna's illusory energy, it appears like we have a connection with it. It appears like we're coming in contact with it. But we don't come in contact with this matter at all. It's the same thing as a simulation or virtual reality. We've talked about this before. There's something called the simulation hypothesis. Even the scientists talk about this. How this material world is just a simulation and we are somewhere else just actually entering into this computer simulation as a very complex computer. And there's many things that sort of indicate this. If you look at quantum mechanics, something called non-locality. Ooh, I'm not going to describe what it is. How something that happens here can affect something that happens trillions and quadrillions of light years away instantaneously. Wow, that doesn't fall under any of the laws of science as we know them. Of course, quantum mechanics talks about it. People who understand quantum mechanics know that they don't understand quantum mechanics. In other words, they don't understand why or how these things work. They use things, but they don't understand why or how these things work. So anyway, so we are in this virtual reality, the simulation, and we are so attached, we're not ready to give it up. We're not ready to wake up. It's like a dream that you're so attached, having a good time, and you just turn off the alarm clock. Okay, Next verse. I thought I should read that. Very exciting information about how we came to the material world. The answer is we didn't come to the material world. Oh my God. So, Trividam Narakashedam Dwaram Nash. I can't see right now. Nashanam Atmanaha. Kama krodas tata lobas tasmat eta treyama chijet. Trividam of three kinds, Narakasha of hell, idam this, dwaram gate. Nashanam destructive, atmanaha of the self, kama lust, kroda anger, tata as well as oba greed, tasmat therefore, eta this. Triumph three, chijet, one must give up. There are three gates leading to this hell. In other words, demonic life or demoniac life, demoniac consciousness, demoniac activities, lust. Now, what does lust mean? And we described this before, but it bears telling again. Lust means I see you or someone else as an object to enjoy. It's not only a sexual thing. Exploiting others. Turning other people into your proverbial slaves. Not actual slaves, but manipulating people. Using them as objects rather than subjects. Not understanding they have feelings or minimizing their feelings. That's lust. Or wanting to enjoy just an inanimate object. Thinking yourself the enjoyer. And just lusting over enjoying it. You can lust over a piece of pizza. You can lust over prasadam. But that is part of demoniac consciousness. You just lust after enjoying something. And then after that, when your lust is not fulfilled, which it never is, then you get angry. Because anger comes from frustration. Frustration of lust. You're angry. Your needs are not fulfilled. So anger comes out there. Okay, and then there's greed. Greed refers to wanting some gross objects and possessing things. Lust means more or less like enjoying an object. Greed means to possess it. It's like you see sometimes people with so much money, but they don't enjoy it. They just like greedy to acquire more and more and more and more, but they don't spend it. They just keep it in the bank. That gives them some satisfaction. I remember with my brother, he would keep money in his mattress, bed, and he would just reach down and hold it. Just would give him some joy in life. Greed, more and more and more to possess. Or people. Lust means to enjoy them. Greed means to possess them. It's very similar. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. So if we become lusty to enjoy someone, or greedy to possess someone, or greedy to possess some object, it just destroys our equanimity. And when these things don't get satisfied, we get angry. So these have to be given up. Prabhupada here says, or Krishna says, every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. Every sane man. So you have a choice. You can either be sane or insano. Insane. So purport. The beginning of demoniac life is described herein. Beginning. One tries to satisfy his lust, and when he cannot, anger and greed arise. A sane man does not give up, who does not want to glide down to the species of demoniac life, must try to give up these three enemies, which can kill the self to such an extent there will be no possibility of liberation from this material entanglement. How do you give them up? Well, as far as lust, don't give up lust, but be lusty to serve Krishna. Enthusiastic, let's not use the word lust right here, but enthusiastic to serve Krishna. not only to serve Krishna, but to bring things for Krishna's enjoyment. Greedy. You want more and more for Krishna, just like the demoniac person. He wants more. He has conquered his enemy. So much wealth is mine today. So much more will I get tomorrow. A devotee is thinking, so much service have I done for Krishna, or so much even wealth I brought into Krishna. And he gives everything to Krishna because he understands Ishabhasham idam sarvam yad kinchao jayadam jagat tena chaktena bunjira magridha kashasvidhanam. He understands everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything is meant for his pleasure. And anger can be used when it accomplishes something. One should be strategic in his or her application of anger. In other words, think before you scream. Will this accomplish something for Krishna? Or will it be counterproductive for Krishna's service? Okay, I think we should end here. And as I said before, forgive me for any of the internet vagaries today, because we are doing this from our mobile phone. And the cable internet's not working today, so hopefully it's coming out half decently so you can understand me. So now we will take questions when I unmute you. Give me 1 second. Okay, who has questions? Hopefully I will be able to hear.
Gurudev?
Yeah.
The reference that you were making from Prabhupada, where he said the living entity doesn't fall down, and the example of him playing Advaitacharya, could you in the chat box put the link to that lecture or conversation?
I will. Yeah, someone else already asked me today, and I will just send that link to the. It's a conversation. It's also in one of Prabhupada's books. Hold on a second. I will put the link. First, I thought it was in Queen Kunti, but it's not in Queen Kunti. It's in the book Quest for Enlightenment, which is a compilation of Prabhupada's lectures.
Which is out of print.
Which is out of print. But it's not out of internet. And it's a lecture. Let's see, when was that lecture? It was given in Japan, I forget the year, I think it was 1970-something. It was a lecture given in Japan on the Srimad Bhagavatam on, I'll tell you in a second. Hold on a second, I will put the link in. So several other people asked me for that link because it was such an amazing realization that Prabhupada was giving us. Quest for Enlightenment, and it is April 1972. Tokyo was a Bhagavatam class on, let me just type this for everyone, April 1972, Tokyo. Bhagavatam class, and the Bhagavatam verse was 291. Okay, got it? So if you have the Veda base, you can actually directly look it up in Quest for Enlightenment. But it's very interesting. Let me just finish this, Rishikesh. Because people always ask about, you know, how did we fall if we were with Krishna? Because you're not supposed to fall from the spiritual world. And Prabhupada actually says, we're not falling. And we know that there is a place called the material world. It's a corner of it's a dark corner called the Mahatattva. But we're not there. We're in the spiritual world because we can't come in contact with matter. The soul and matter are completely different. But we're identifying with this matter. That's amazing. It's amazing Krishna's illusory energy has me convinced I am this thing. Has me convinced that if I practice Kundalini yoga, that I will be happy. And because I'm not practicing Kundalini yoga, that's for someone else. We should remain nameless to protect the innocent. You know, has me convinced about all these crazy things. Has me convinced that if I eat my Wheaties or whatever, my kasha, that I'll be healthy. Anyway, it's amazing. I mean, if you think about how amazing this virtual reality is, isn't it? Okay, Hrishikesh, you had a question.
Yes, Gurudev, I just wanted to understand, so like when we are doing this devotional service, like chanting, doing deity worship, when I'm in this material body, is that also part of a dream?
Good question. No, you're engaging your body in devotional service. The body is in the material world for sure. And just like I'm using the computer right now. Right? Is it a dream that I'm using the computer? But if I identify, let's say I have one of these little boxes, you know, the Hollywood squares. I don't know. Sometimes I set my
I cannot hear anything. Is everyone having the same problem?
Gurudev, you're on mute.
I know what happened. I went offline for a second because of this internet went off. I'm well aware of what happened. So I for a second, my virtual self on the computer became dead. And now he's alive again. I'm actually like a Christian that the bones rose again. Anyway, I think you understand the joke. So the point being is that I am doing devotional service, even though it's my image here of my body that's doing devotional service, and my voice, which is a separate, because what you're hearing is not actually the voice of my body. Remember that. What you're hearing is the computer has analyzed my voice. I'm talking electronically right now, just to give you an example. The computer has analyzed my voice and turned it into a bunch of zeros and ones. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? No.
Yes, we understand, Gurudev.
You're not hearing my voice. You're really not hearing my voice. What you're hearing is that this computer took my voice, turned it into a bunch of zeros and ones, sent it all over the internet, you know, somehow or other, received by your computer, turned it back into something that simulated my voice. But you're not actually seeing me. Or not even seeing my body, but to speak of seeing the soul. You're seeing a virtual, you know, whatever imitation of what of electronically of my body, and a virtual like representation of my voice. Now that may appear to be very scary. Anyway, it's scary for me. You know, because I'm thinking, I'm looking at the screen and I'm thinking, I'm seeing Sumukh, I'm seeing Jai Radhika, I'm seeing Radha Padma, I'm seeing Sudharma, I'm seeing Ishwara Chaitanya, I'm seeing Gopal, I'm seeing Champagalata, I'm seeing Mayapur Chandra, oh my God. I'm seeing Kirtana, I'm seeing Radha Sundari, I'm seeing Swapna Penelope, you know, Claire, because I don't remember everyone's name, Abhay Chaitanya. So I'm seeing everybody. But I'm not seeing you. You understand? It's all an illusion. Now, if that's not crazy, I don't know what is. Anyway, so it's all an illusion. But because my soul is directing my body to act in a certain way to talk about Krishna, and my body is directing the computer, or not directing the computer, the computer is actually analyzing my zeros and ones and transmitting to you, I am doing the service. That little image you see on the screen is doing service. Or it's the soul is doing service, acting through that little image. So in the same way, you understand, Rishikesh, the metaphor I just used?
Yes, Gurudev, yes. Thank you, Gurudev. Yes.
And it's a two-way thing. You know, it's just like, my soul is acting through the body and the body is transmitting information to me. And also the body is seeing the deity form, and somehow or other, the soul is becoming enlivened because Krishna is there in the deity form, even though we're in the material world, not in the material world, we're in the material world, but not in the material world. It gets really strange. The body's in the material world. You're not in the material world. Try to figure that one out. And the main problem is you're identifying with the body. It's just like a car. You drive the car, don't identify with the car. Before I joined the movement, I identified with my car. I had a beautiful MG midget. And at night, this is so interesting. You know, I had never driven a gear shift car before in my life, before I got the MG. But at night, I dreamt I was the car and I was shifting. And the next morning I woke up and I knew how to drive the car perfectly. No one ever taught me how to shift a car. But because I identified with the car so strongly, then it was, for all intents and purposes, I had become the car. So yes, you're doing service when you're doing deity service. It's not just an illusion that you're doing deity service. You're directing the body to do that. And then you're getting input from the body and the body is feeding you pictures of Krishna. And the image of Krishna. And anyway, all I know is we're not the body and I'm not here. I'm not.
So Gurudev, Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, please pick me up from this miserable existence and place me as one of the atoms in your lotus feet.
That's right.
How do you understand that?
Free me from this illusion. In position as being an eternal servant, your lotus feet. And you know, Jivara Swarupa Hoy, Nitya Krishna Das, that I am, my Swarupa is the servant of Krishna. That's my form, that's who I am. Swarupa, my own form. I mean, this is such an interesting statement that Prabhupada made. Prabhupada said, the soul has not fallen in the traditional sense. But we have fallen into illusion, yes. Just like some people may think they're in Hawaii, but they're not in Hawaii. I mean, it's really amazing. If you think about it, it's really enough, as to use an expression that we had in the 1960s or 70s, enough to blow your mind. If you think about what Prabhupada just said, that wow, I am with Krishna. Actually, elsewhere, Prabhupada did say something like that. We are with Krishna, but we're just not able to see. Our consciousness is covered by illusion. And the body is a machine. Krishna describes in the Gita, Yantra Rudani Maya, Brahmayan Sarvabhutani, Ishwara Sarvabhutanam, Ishwara Sarvabhutanam, Yantra Mayan. Anyway, body is yantra, it is a machine that is acting on the in the material energy. Krishna is the director of this whole show. Shwara Sarvabhutanam, Ridesha Arjuna Tishtati, Ramayana Sarvabhutana Yantra Rudani Maya. That's the whole verse. That Krishna is situated in the heart, reflected his presence. Even we say Krishna is in the heart, his presence is reflected just like the reflection of a moon on the body of water. And the another example that Prabhupada actually gives here is the moon appears to be moving when the clouds pass in front of it. Actually, the moon is not moving. Also, the moon appears to be moving when it's reflected on the body of water. But the moon is not moving. It's the body of water that's causing the illusion that the moon is moving. Anyway, I don't expect everyone to understand it. But it's pretty interesting. We're an illusion. We're manipulating these bodies. Even your vision, you think you're seeing, but what are you seeing? Forget about the computer right now. What are you seeing? First of all, there's some light rays that hit the eye, the optic back of the eye, the optic nerve through the lens, and it transmits some electrochemical stimuli, to the back of the brain. And the interesting thing is that image is reversed. The image is actually upside down and reverse, and the brain actually writes it up. And so then the brain, which is a bunch of neurons, nerves, somehow or other processes this information. And then somehow or other, that information is transmitted to the subtle body, which transmits it to the gross, to the soul. So even our perception in this body is very indirect, just like the perception on a computer screen that is very indirect, because it's all we're actually seeing is a simulation based upon zeros and ones that have been transmitted through the internet. But we're in such illusion. It's just like seeing a film, you actually think that's happening. I remember, what was the last film I saw? Last film I saw was Charlie Chaplin film, 1922. Anyway, no, that's not true. The last film I saw, where was it? Oh, it was probably Avatar or something like that. Interesting film. And you develop attachment for the characters in the film, don't you? You know, real attachment. Oh, they got rid of the bad guys. Thank God. I was praying for the blue guys. Anyway, it's just amazing to me how much illusion we're all in. That's what amazes me. And if we wake up in the spiritual world. So to use that film metaphor, you got to take the blue pill, the red pill. The red pill is Krishna consciousness. Anyway, so who has another question about something else, something more interesting like love in the material world or something? Anyone else have a question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, Danda Pranam, please accept.
Hare Bhav. What question do you have?
Gurudev, sorry, I don't have other question, but can I ask extension of this?
Oh my God, more of that question. Yeah.
Since last night's, morning's lecture, I was thinking, when it says in Bhagavad Gita that soul and the super soul are situated in our heart in this present body. So yes. I was trying to understand that when we understand that we are not here, and like as you were explaining the reflection of moon in the oil and in the water, but it's actually the water or oil is moving, and as a result. So how do I understand that perspective related to in the heart, soul is there, and so, or should
the soul's presence? The soul's presence is manifest in the heart. Somehow or other, the soul is in the heart, but he doesn't touch the material elements.
Okay, so it is also a reflection.
Well, he's not touching the material elements. He's in the heart. He's in the heart, but it's not that if you cut the heart open, you're going to find the soul. When you talk about the soul being 1/10,000, the tip of the hair, for those of you who know mathematics, the tip of the hair is a point in space. A point in space has no dimensions. So 1/10,000th of a point that has no dimensions is what? No dimensions.
Okay, Gurudev, do we...
I don't know if any of you ever study mathematics, that if you go to a hair, because I don't have any hair, forget it. So if you take a piece of hair and you do a cross section all the way to the very, very point, you got a mathematical point in space. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Yeah, one person, two people understand. You got a mathematical point in space. Because you do a cross section of anything, you come to a point. And that point has no dimensions, material dimensions, but it exists.
Yes.
The point is actually real, but it exists. So try to understand that.
Okay. Gurudev, do we understand it by Achinta Bhedavid principle?
Well, you understand it by Achintya. It's inconceivable.
Okay.
Somehow or other, we're here but not here simultaneously.
Okay.
Yeah, and also he says when the yogi breathes out, the soul and the subtle body come out from the mouth. So what is it that actually comes out? You know, because the soul is transcendentally situated.
Yes.
In one sense, even the material world is within the whole creation of the Lord. It's just part of the Mahatattva, which is a corner of the Lord's creation. So in other words, everything is God's creation. Anyway, I know I probably bewildered everybody.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
I go, by Chaitanya, you have a question.
Yes, sorry, Maharaj, I can't put my video on. I'm just in the car. But just to follow up on that, whilst it is all, as you just explained, the image and the illusion, but the karma is binding, isn't it, still?
So, yeah, the karma is binding. The karma is binding because that's the Lord's energy. What happens is the Lord's illusory energy is not an illusion.
So it's not quite like the Mayavadis put it, which is, how they say Jagan Mithya, which is the whole world is...
Yeah. No, the material world exists. It exists. It's real. At the same time, the Lord's illusory energy exists. Illusion is real, too.
Right.
The illusion, not the illusion we are experienced in, is real. But the illusory energy is real. It gets a little complicated.
Yeah.
It's Krishna's illusory energy. It's like Prabhupada talking about here, a director in a play directs the players feel like a Dvaitacharya, you know, feel like whatever your part is. So that director is one sense Krishna, and another director, and another sense it's Krishna's illusory energy. Feel like whoever you are, or wherever you think you are. Anyway, I will leave it up to all of you to figure this one out.
Thank you, Maharaj.
It's really a far out statement that Prabhupada made here, and it takes a lot of meditation to try to understand it. All I know is I'm a servant of Krishna, and my identification with this body is illusion, but my using the body in Krishna's service is not an illusion. How about that? Okay, I think we should end now. Hopefully you all tolerated my bad internet connection today, which cause the voice to break up at certain points. But that's the cause of Spectrum, our internet provider. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.